So we've had a very busy week. The baccalaureate service was this week, and I shared a little bit for that. And in my head, I was thinking, oh, I'll just take what I shared there and share it again here. And the more I was working on that, the more I felt God kind of saying, don't do that. I was like, oh, but it would be so easy. Don't do that. I said, well, I'll do it anyway. And he's like, nope, you won't. So I'm not. And so this is a word that God's been speaking to my heart. And my prayer is just that it would challenge you and that we would leave today. And I got done early first service, so probably we'll do the same this service. But the truth that we're going to learn about is just great, and it is life-changing. So let's get into it. So my daughter, Harper, is our go-getter. Not that our other kids aren't, but she's a go-getter in a way that they aren't. She just goes for it. It's fun to watch. But at our kids group on Wednesday nights, it's really fun to watch because they've been studying verses and things about the Bible and really digging that into their heart. And one of the things that Harper learned this year was the Lord's Prayer, which is super exciting. I mean, it's just really fun as a dad. But every night, I'll go down to pray with Harper, and literally every night, Dad, can we do the Lord's Prayer? Sure. Our Father, heart, and good. She does it. Next night, Dad, can we do the Lord? Our Father, heart, and okay. Every night for like months, that's all she's wanted to pray. And I repented of it, and I realized that this was not a good thing. But one night I was like, well, why don't we say a real prayer? I was like, no, that is a real prayer. It's a good prayer. But it's so encouraging as a dad to see that your kids just getting into the Word. And so I was looking at that and kind of reading up on that and through some podcasts and a bunch of stuff and some training that Sam and I are going through for the residency. My heart's been really convicted in an area, in the area of prayer. What is prayer? What is worship? And what's the purpose of it? Because we really, as believers, the best, most useful, and really only thing that we have to offer is prayer. This is what God has given us to give to the world is prayer. I can pray for you, and there's power in that. And we have to believe in the power of prayer. That's what we have to give. And it's good. But I got to thinking of it, like, what if by chance, this really good thing, what if there's a chance, a small, minute chance, that I've really missed what prayer is all about? And really missed maybe even why we pray and what the purpose of prayer is. Small chance. And so I've been convicted on this. And I came to this verse in James 5:16, and it says this: the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Everybody say powerful. That was really boring. Say it like you say powerful. Yes. And effective. Yeah, so I looked those words up. Powerful really means combative, confrontational. The prayer of a righteous man is confrontational. It's effective. It's powerful. It's combative, and it steps into those places where we need to take a stand, and it takes a stand. It comes against those things that we need to pray against, and it's not afraid to pray against those in faith. It's fearless. And then the word effective. Effective, I looked this up, and it really, the one of these articles I was reading on this particular word said it's really like electricity to a light bulb. It makes things happen. The prayer of a righteous man is confrontational, and it makes things happen. You pray for things that need to happen, and God shows up. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. It's fearless. It's effective. Things happen when we pray. And I got to thinking on that, and this is just honesty. I was like, does my prayer life always fit into that? Or am I missing something? And so I got to thinking on that and studying on this, and I came to this portion of Scripture that precedes the Lord's Prayer. So if you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Okay, this is the Jesus' big sermon. Okay, this is just big Sermon on the Mount where he's teaching everybody, if you want to be a Christian, here's what our life looks like. Here's how we live, and here's what we do. So we come to this verse, and he's talking on prayer. Now, Jesus, obviously, is a man that knows how to pray. And so we get to this section of scripture that often we skip over or just kind of breeze through in order to get to the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. But there's some meat in here that we need to grab a hold of that I want to take some time this morning to look at. So let's read this together. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I find it very interesting that before Jesus teaches us how to pray, he instructs us on where to pray. Did you catch that? Before he instructs us on how to pray, he teaches us where to pray. He says, don't be like the hypocrites that pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners. I tell you the truth, they receive their reward in full. It's not that they won't get a reward. They've just already gotten it. You wanted to be seen? Congratulations, people saw you. You wanted to be heard? They heard you. Good job. That's the reward. As believers, I hope we're seeking more than that, right? But he says this, I tell you the truth, or when you pray, go into your room and close the door. When you pray, go into your room and close the door. This gathering together is good. It is really good. The Bible says, don't forsake the meeting together. This is good. But that, going into your room and closing the door, that is powerful. This is important. But that is essential. This right here is valuable, but that is priceless. There's something that happens when we go into our room, we close the door, we get into this intimate space with God where it's just him and us, that he works in ways that there's something that happens in that space. I tell you, Sunday, if that's the extent of our worship and our prayer is Sunday, it's not enough. I think we would all agree in this world that we live in, we kind of need Jesus every day, every hour, every day. We need him. We need to know he's here. We need to know that he's with us. It's even interesting. So Bill Hybels, I don't know if you know who Bill Hybels is or Willow Creek Church. They're a church that really cares about measuring the unmeasurable things of spirituality. Like the things that we're like, there's no way to measure that. They're like, we'll figure out a way. So I don't know how they did this, but they did this study where they were trying to find out why some people in their church were not growing spiritually. They were involved in church, they were connected, they were doing a lot of good things, but spiritually, they weren't growing. And they found this, that there is absolutely zero connection between involvement in church activities and spiritual growth. That's hard to say as a pastor, because we want you just to come do stuff with us. It's fun. Come hang out with us. And it's not that those things aren't good. But he said, if you're looking at spiritual growth, there's no connection between church activities and spiritual growth. You could go to every potluck, every Bible study, every small group, every worship team, every kids thing, and that doesn't mean you're going to grow spiritually. Because we're not created to grow in relationship with the church. We're created to grow in relationship with Jesus. Now, these things are helpful. Man, when you have that get alone with God time, and then you pour that faith into the church, things happen, and it's awesome. And Jesus works through that. But if all we're relying on is church activities to help us grow spiritually, they're saying it doesn't happen. And those, the only difference between those that are growing and those that are not, is that they found this time to get alone with God on a daily basis, to go in their room and close the door. And I find that just fascinating and challenging and really good. So you keep reading in this. It says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And let me tell you, that reward, that the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you? That's a reward to go after. But he says, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think because of their many words that they will be heard. I had so many jokes I could tell at this point, but for the sake of time, we've all been there, right? We've heard those prayers that are just like sprinkled with elegance and whatever else, and just keeps going and going, and then at the end you're like, yeah, but you forgot to bless the food. We've been there, right? I have kids that love to pray, and sometimes you're like, okay, but it's good, right? It's so good. Pray for us. It's good. But he says, don't keep on babbling. Don't keep on your words. And then there's this really challenging and confusing verse that says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Logically, that should raise some curiosity in us. I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm not going to pray just standing there so everybody can see. I'm going to go into my room. I'm going to pray, close the door, pray. I'm not going to keep on babbling. And you already know what I'm going to ask. So what am I doing here? Right? Why am I here? If I'm not here to pray because you already know, what's the point of prayer? And if that's our question, and we're generally seeking that question, we could potentially be on the verge of a breakthrough in our prayer life. If you come to that point going, okay, genuinely, why am I here? I really think that that's the point when that question becomes an important question. That turn is going to take us to a place where I think we will discover what prayer is really about. If God already knows what we need before we ask him, perhaps our prayers could become less needy. If God already knows what we're going to need before we ask him, perhaps our prayers could become less about asking and more about something else. Now, we all live in crazy. I didn't say you are crazy. I said we live in crazy. Each of us has crazy going on all the time. Whether it's, you know, problems at home or at work, or, you know, the temptations that we struggle with, or real life things, or sadness or loss or hurt or grief or grudges. I don't know. There's lots of stuff that we struggle with. Crazy, right? Not just me. Everybody agree with that? Good. So if we all struggle with crazy and God knows what we need before we ask him, what's the point of prayer? Prayer and worship is a perspective changer. Prayer and worship, when we get to that point in that quietness of that room, not babbling, not talking, we lay our burdens before God and we bring our cares, but then we go, okay, God, you already know all this. In that, God changes our perspective. And suddenly it becomes a lot less about what we need and a lot more about who God is. Because he's omnipotent and he's omnipresent. He's bigger and he's closer than the crazy. God is bigger and God is closer than the crazy. And so our prayers don't have to be so much about, God, I just need, it's like, okay, God, here's where I'm at. Remind me that you're bigger than this and remind me that you're closer than this. If you're all powerful, which you are, and if you're everywhere at the same time, which you are, and if you know all things, which you do, all I need to know is you're bigger and you're closer. And our perspective changes. So why does he instruct us before we pray, not on necessarily what to say, but on where to say it? Because in that space, we have time to hear God. We have time to listen to God. We have time to just sit in this intimate space with our Father who is in heaven and realize that holy is his name. He is closer and he is bigger than the crazy. That alone is such a gift, such a reward, right? If you go to Romans chapter 8, this has become a big deal in my life, these verses. It says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." In all things, God works for good. Verse 31 says, "What shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If we're in the middle of crazy, but we know God is with us, crazy has no chance. "For he did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for all of us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Verse 33, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or any other crazy you want to throw in there?" No. "In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation," in case we missed something, "nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If we get into that quiet space where Jesus says, "Go into your room and close the door, and then your Father who is unseen will reward you," he will change our perspective to realize that he is closer and he is bigger. And when we realize that, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, because we realize it's not really anything we're doing. It's who we're serving. It's who God is and how he works through us that is powerful and effective. And that's awesome. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to give us a moment just this morning to speak with God and to talk about God is wanting to change our perspective. Maybe we're so focused on the crazy that it seems too big and too close. And God's saying, "I'm bigger and I'm closer," and we need to be reminded of that. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you broken. In awe. We come to you with a lot of crazy. But we're not coming needy. God, we're coming in faith. We're coming with confidence because you are bigger and you are closer. So Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning that you would be so evident in our lives, be so real, be so close. That, Lord, we can pray this prayer that says, "Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen."